Two things we can be certain of. Death and taxes. Yeah, we know that. Well, this morning I want to say there's something else that we can be certain of, and that's that we're in a battle. Every one of us are in a battle, whether we know it or not, and that's because the Scripture teaches us that there is an adversary. And he has an army on his side with him. And scriptures tell us from Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against people, but against rulers and powers and forces of darkness. So there is a battle. And the question is, where's the battlefield? What does it look like? Well, the battlefield happens to be our thoughts, our emotions, our desires, those things within us that really direct the things that we do that come out of us. So that's where it is. So winds are, God made clear, the winds are centered on truth. When our thoughts and our desires, the things that we want and we think about, when the things that are true, then godliness, righteousness, those are winds. Losses, well, when things set in, like fear. It's all kinds of fears. Anger. Things that cause us to become angry. False guilt. Things like hate. Unforgiveness. Hopelessness. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the prides of life, those sorts of things. And so this morning I hope that you can see that there's something we need to know for the battle that we're in, the battle that each of us are in. So turn with me to Joshua chapter 5, and we'll pick up, we'll be back in the series that we've been in. And let me give you a little bit of background as we get ready to look at it. If you remember, the Israelites spent 40 years in the wilderness because God delivered them out of slavery. They came to the border of the land. They did not trust God to give them the victory in the land. And so for that disobedience, God said that generation of men will die in the wilderness. And so they did, 40 years. And then the next generation comes. But by the way, Moses also was told he will not go into the land because of his lack of reverence for the Lord at Meribah. So see, now the question is here in Joshua, will they trust God this time? Joshua is the new leader. He's replaced Moses. They've just experienced a miraculous crossing of the flooded Jordan River. After the crossing, they're at a place called Gilgal, if you remember from last time. Going back's not an option. They got across by a miracle. This is where they are. God tells them to do two things, surprisingly. The first, all the men of that generation are to be circumcised, make themselves vulnerable. And secondly, they're told to observe the Passover. So what are those? What are those observances? The circumcision, it's a sign of the covenant relationship that God established with the people. A covenant that he would be their God, they would be his people, showing it by obedience. That's what the circumcision was about. Passover, that was to be observed every year to remember that God had delivered them out of bondage. Those two things. Both of them, listen, both of those things are reminders of who they are. The reminders are their identity by God's doing. What's really neat is that there's a parallel in the New Testament. There's two observances. One is baptism. It says we're in the new covenant of grace, God's grace, forgiveness granted. through faith. There is baptism that's a sign of that, and the Lord's table or communion, where we remember what Christ did to free us from our bondage to sin. Both of these remind us of our identity, do they not? They remind us of what God has done to determine who we are. Kind of neat, isn't it? Well, let's take a look at our passage this morning. Only verses 13, 14, and 15. Joshua chapter 5. Let me read them. Now, it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Let's look at this encounter here, what happens, first of all. It says Joshua lifted up his eyes. So where is he? Why are his eyes down? Is the first question, right? Well, it says that he was by Jericho. That's going to be the first battle that they'll face. We've already seen Jericho is a fortified city. Spies have been there. Rahab hid them, helped them escape. Because of that spying mission, they found out the people are terrified of the Israelites. But where's Joshua at this time? It appears he's alone. So it's likely that he's outside the camp, someplace. We can only speculate. Maybe it's like Nehemiah assessing the situation, or like any good military leader planning his strategy in the darkness, walking, thinking, perhaps praying. It would seem his eyes were down, and he looks up. And he sees, it says what, a man standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. A man opposite, not behind him, not beside him, opposite would seem to be in front. The sword is not in the scabbard or the sheath. It is drawn, it's held in his hand. It doesn't appear that it's pointed at Joshua. It would appear that it's just by its side on his hand. And this is what he sees. What would Joshua think of this? I mean, who would he think it is? It looks like a man, right? Would he think of anything else? The identity, let's just peek ahead here a little bit and look at the identity. We read it here. The man identifies himself as captain of the Lord's army. Now, Lord there, it's all caps. That means that's a unique name for God himself, the one true living God, Yahweh. So this man identifies himself as captain of the Lord's army. Verse 14 says Joshua falls down before him, addresses him as my Lord. Oh, different word for Lord, not all caps there. It's Adonai there. And that word means master. Now, that word, sometimes it's used of God in the sense of, as Larry explained in the song, as a sovereign master ruler. But sometimes Adonai was used of human leaders, of a person with authority. And so, as Joshua falls before him, it could be like a human authority or royalty, some superior in some way. But then in verse 15, the man tells Joshua to take his sandals off. He's standing on holy ground. Well, what makes the ground holy? It could only be the Lord. So see, at that point, it's pretty clear. It's the Lord who is there. Now, we would call that a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Before his incarnation, before he took on a human body, there were pre-incarnate appearances, a few of them. Usually they're identified by the angel of the Lord. There's a few of them in Scripture. We don't have time this morning to look at them, but now we can see that that's what this is. But here's our point. Just in verse 13, the first half of the verse, the Lord appeared to Joshua in a way he did not recognize. It was the Lord who appeared to him, and it was in a way he did not recognize. He looked like a man. Now, we don't know if Joshua was seeking the Lord or not. It doesn't really tell us. We're not really sure. Regardless, the Lord chose to appear to him. And while it appears that Joshua does not initially know it was the Lord, that's who it was. So the question that I, of course, I ask, well, why does the Lord appear to him this way? Why doesn't he just identify himself right away? Why would he appear like a man and not say, I'm the Lord? I don't know. I can only speculate, but it makes me think that this was the best way that the Lord could communicate to Joshua what he needed to communicate. Well, let's ask ourselves this question. Does the Lord sometimes reveal himself to people like that today? Does God reveal himself like that to people? Well, he did sometimes in the Old Testament. After his resurrection, he did appear in his human form at times. Does he sometimes reveal himself like that today? Well, he could, I guess. Right? He's God. He can do what he wants. He could. I would not suggest that you look for God to appear as a man. Or as sometimes people say, think that that God appeared with a message, you know, through a dog or a cat or a bird or a squirrel or something like that. I would not look for that. I would not suggest that. I would not suggest that you expect to hear an audible voice either. And this is why. We have an adversary. And this we know about the adversary. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. And his intentions for us are not good. So we need to be very cautious and very careful. However, if you're a believer, if you're a Christ follower, then God has appeared to you. He has spoke to you. Because your salvation, it was initiated from him. So he got your attention somehow. And he took you to the Scriptures and helped you understand it's true. He opened your eyes and helped you realize in his word the truth of the gospel. So how does someone recognize to today when or if God is speaking to them? How do we know? Well, the first place we should look and the last place we should check is Scripture, right? We have Scripture. It's God's truth. He revealed to us what is true in it. And God will not say something that contradicts what he's already said in his word. So it's a safeguard. It's a check for us. By the way, that's why we want to be careful to accurately understand Scripture. Well, is it possible to learn the Scripture and not know the one behind it? Yeah, it is. Right? We can study it like a book. We can use it like a manual and never really know the one behind it. That's a pitfall that we also want to be careful about. So we don't want to forget the Holy Spirit in all this. And in fact, let me just read some Scripture that Jesus gave. John 14:16. I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever, a helper for you, he says. Verse 17, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to come and indwell his people as a helper. So when God has a message for his people, the Holy Spirit is helping bring an understanding of it. In fact, in chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. As he helped those first disciples, as he helped them remember, the Holy Spirit helped them remember the things that Jesus taught, understand what they meant, and record them. The helper is the one who does it. So we have the helper. So it is the helper, the Holy Spirit, and the scriptures we have. If you want to know if God's saying something to you, if you want to know if he's giving you some direction, that's how he directs. Not the bird that landed on your bird feeder. Okay? All right, let's say, fortunately, let's go back to our text. For Joshua, an inability to recognize who appeared didn't last, as we've already looked at a little bit. But let's go back to verses 13 and 14, second half of 13. This man appeared, and Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? So here's this encounter. I love the first part of this. Now, if you saw somebody with a sword, would you do what Joshua did? What did it say? He went to him. He went right directly to him. There's a leader, right? He goes right to him, and he asks him the question, you for us or our adversaries? Like, let's get right to the point of this. Who's the adversaries? The adversaries are the people in the land, right, that they're going to take, the promised land. Those are the adversaries. The more immediate ones are the people of Jericho. So the question, are you for us or our adversaries? And the answer, no, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. Joshua falls on his face and he bows down. And what has my Lord to say to his servant? In other words, what do you want me to do? Not a surprising response in that culture when someone is encounters a superior. My Lord, again, not the word uniquely for God. Not in caps. This is the word for master. Servant, appropriate response to both human authority and to the Lord. He bowed down. Also, don't miss this. Several translations say that he worshiped. The word for bowed down means to show homage. To show homage, which is appropriate to a human authority, a superior. It might be a royalty, but it's also the word worship is appropriate if it is the Lord, which it is in this case. However, did Joshua get it at this point? I mean, did he know who he was talking to at this point when he said, are you for us or our adversaries? And he said, well, I'm a captain of the Lord's host. Does he know it's the Lord? I don't think he does at this point. Well, his answer to the question, are you for us or our adversaries? The captain's answer, did you notice? He doesn't say he's on either side. Does he? He doesn't answer the question. He doesn't say, well, I'm on your side, Joshua. I'm with you. Why doesn't he answer? Good questions, right? Why doesn't he answer the question? And he just says, I'm the captain. I'm in charge of the Lord's army. And now I come. I think it's pretty obvious. I come for the fight. But it's the Lord's army that he makes clear who he leads. So you see, isn't the answer to Joshua's question, really? You shouldn't ask if I'm on your side, but if you can be on my side, right? I think the answer is just that. It's like, no, you shouldn't ask if I'm the Lord. You shouldn't ask if I'm on your side. You should ask, well, how can I be on your side, right? Does that fit the context? Is it the Lord's battle or is it Joshua's battle? Well, I think if we go right back to the beginning of the book, Joshua 1, verse 2, Moses, this is the Lord speaking to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. God's saying, what? It's my battle. I'm giving you the land. Verse 3, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. God's saying, this is my battle. I'm giving you the victory. Verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. I will give you the victory. Yeah, so I think when the Lord said, I'm the captain of the Lord's army, I think what he's trying to say to Joshua, hey, this is my battle. This is mine. You join me. Well, what's our point here? The Lord's appearance to Joshua clarified the power and authority for his battle. The Lord's appearance to Joshua clarified the power and the authority for his battle. This is the battle that he had. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how encouraging this would be to Joshua? It's going to be war, big war, way outnumbered. And God says, hey, I'm the authority here. It's my power. This battle is mine. Listen, would you like to hear the Lord say to you concerning what your battle might be? Hey, I've got this. Would you like to hear God say, hey, I got this. This battle is mine? I would, wouldn't you? I mean, how good is that? In this appearance, Joshua's not really told, up to this point, he's not told to do anything. So what's the application for him? The application is really pretty simple. Believe, right? Just know this. Believe that it's true. And then just follow me. It's kind of like child that goes to school and he's nervous. It's kind of overwhelming. And parents say, I love you. I want you to know that I love you and I care for you. I mean, that kid can go to school, what? Knowing that, just knowing that he has that, that's huge, right? Or it's a kid at school who's experiencing some bullies and kind of says, I'm getting bullied. And the teacher says, I'm going to be here. Don't be afraid, right? How does the kid feel when the teacher says, I'm watching? Or maybe it's like the friend who says, I've got your back. I've got your back. God is just saying, this is mine. I don't want you to be afraid. We just have to, on our part, we just have to make sure that the Lord is leading, that it is his battle, that it's his battle that we're in, that it's not something that we're creating. We're not creating a firestorm on our own, but we're in the battle that he has for us. And that's why in Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? In other words, it doesn't matter, right? If God's for us, if we're in the battle that he has us in, we can know he's for us. So let's just step back for a minute. Let's not forget that a battle that we have is the mission that we have, the mission that every one of us is called to. The mission, that mission is to make disciple makers, right? That's the mission that we've all been given. Is there opposition to making disciple makers? Wait a minute, right? Easy question, right? Our adversary? Nope, doesn't like it. So, hey, there's a battle that we all face. Here's our mission, Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, go do this. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Who's with us? Who's on our side as we're busy about making disciples? Jesus said, I am. In fact, we don't often look at it, but verse 18 that goes before this says that Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's the one who says the battle is mine. Well, the last verse in our passage this morning, the Lord makes his identity known, and he gives an interesting order to Joshua there. Verse 15, the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. What made the ground holy? People of Jericho? Obviously not, no. What changed? What was different? It's the arrival of the captain, right? Who is the Lord himself. Only the Lord makes something holy. So see, now Joshua, now it's clear to Joshua and it's clear to the reader who the captain is. It's the Lord himself. Why take off his sandals? Well, it's the same thing that God said to Moses when he appeared to him in the burning bush, right? Why take off your sandals? Why doesn't the Lord just give Joshua instructions for the war that's ahead? He's going to, in chapter 6, he's going to, but he doesn't hear. He just appears basically and says, this is who I am, now you show some reverence. And really that's our point here in verse 15. The Lord's presence required reverence from Joshua. Just that simple. The Lord's presence. Reverence. I wonder if the message here isn't just this reminder that if you're with me, then you better show reverence. Reverence is required. It's almost like the Lord's saying, now, Joshua, let's get this first. I'm God and you're not. I'm in charge and you're not. This battle is mine first. It's not right to disrespect someone and then expect their help, is it? Sometimes people act that way today. And, you know, and if they did help, wouldn't it be like saying respect doesn't matter? Wouldn't it be like saying, well, disrespect is okay? Yeah. You know, this is, as I thought about this, It's like a preview. Now remember, this is way back in Joshua's day, but this is like a preview of when Christ would come in the incarnate person. Though he's deity, people did not recognize it. They didn't recognize it when he came to earth. Just like Joshua didn't recognize the Lord as who was the captain of the army. This captain and the Lord Jesus. Jesus had all the power and authority. All the power and authority of God. And he said, basically, your battle with sin, it's mine. Believe me. Just believe me. Trust me. Surrender your will to mine. Listen and follow me. Well, we're going to see how Joshua does in that in the next few weeks. But how about you and me? How well are you and how well am I responding to the Lord? Like the captain who's Jesus is going to give Joshua victories, Christ will give victories to his followers, right, who believe and follow. He broke the power of sin to condemn eternally and to control temporarily in the lives of his people. It's what he did at the cross. And our part is to believe, simply believe that it's true. So listen, first of all, have you turned to him and put your faith in what he did for you on the cross? That's where it begins. I mean, you can be here, you can be looking at your Bible, studying your Bible, learning a whole lot of things, but until you've come to that point where you've put your faith in what he did for you, you haven't begun. He's not the one who's taken your battle. If you have turned to him, it's just as simple as this. Know that he's with you. Know that he will lead you to victory in your battles, in the battles that you face. But remember this, reverence and obedience are appropriate. It's how we show that we believe. And it's our gratitude. So let me ask you, let's go back again to what's your battle today? I mean, we all have them. Every one of us do. Maybe we don't see it, but take a moment. What is your battle? You know where the battlefield is. You know where the ground is. It has to do with, again, with what? Our thoughts, our desires, our emotions. Our adversary wants to capture us there. And we know what the battlefield looks like. Where's your battle today? Whatever it is, this much I know. We are dependent on the Lord for success in our battles. Amen? We are dependent on him. It's not our strength. It's not our discipline. It's not how much we know. How strong we are? No, we are dependent on him for success in our battles. And that's why we walk in faith. And sometimes we just need to know, right? We just need to know and trust, believe that it's true. Let me close with this story. In the Iran War, if you know, I happened to read an interesting story, and maybe you did too. I think it maybe made headlines. I don't know. A plane was shot down. Did you follow that story? A plane was shot down. The pilot and his systems manager or whatever, the second person in the plane. The plane had to eject, and they shot out. They get shot out with an enormous amount of force. As they parachute, the wind takes them. It took them a long distance apart. The pilot was rescued within a few hours. He was found, and he was quickly rescued. The systems manager, whatever his name is, or his role was, where he landed, he was injured. He bandaged up his wounds, and he moved. That's their instructions. Move, get away from where you land so you don't get located. And so he did. The enemies were coming. Little he could do. There's very little he could do. Enemies were coming. They were looking for him. And radio signaling where he was would give away his location. So he's in a very, very difficult spot. And he does as he's has been instructed, gives some very, very, very brief, intermittent beeps for his location. And 48 hours He's living, he's surviving in this place. He's actually climbed to a very, very high spot. You know what the first message that he gave when he could give a verbal message? God is good. God is good. Whose battle? Most powerful military in the world spared nothing to rescue him. And it proved to be an incredible rescue. The no man left behind was in place. Listen, that's who your God and my God is. He'll spare nothing to rescue us and to help us. We need to know, believe, and trust it to be true. Do you? I pray you do. Lord, wow. We are humbled when we consider who you are, that you would care about us, that you would care about the doings in our lives, which are so minuscule compared to you. And yet, your scripture teaches us that you do. That you want to take our battles, that you want to walk us through, give us instructions, and trust you to know what's true, to believe what's true, and to act on just that. So, Lord, this morning we just want to say thank you for what you do. May we be found faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.